Well, good morning. It's great to be with you. And it's always a challenge when you're a visiting preacher. See, so I've spent several years in pastoral ministry. And in my church, I knew where the tree was. I knew where the candles were. So I knew where not to stand. And there's always the fear in a new church that I'll knock over the tree or walk into a candle. But I think I'm safe this morning. It's my joy to be here this morning to represent the Southern Counties Baptist Association. And I bring my greetings to you from them. And this morning, I really want us to look into Mary. I love Mary. Mary is, I think, one of the most significant people in the whole of Scripture. But because of our Protestant tradition, we often don't speak about her as much as maybe we should do. But here she is, this unexpected mother. And we see right from the start of this account, God's love for her and for us in giving us freedom. It's fascinating to me that God doesn't force his will upon Mary. Even in this very moment in history, the key moment in the redemptive history of all of humankind, and still Mary has a choice. Just as God gives us choices, he always gives us that freedom. And Mary's yes has a massive implication. Mary was just a teenager at the time. God calls men and women. He calls the young and he calls the old. And whatever we fit into in those categories, we have a choice to say yes to God. And I think there are some key lessons that we can learn from Mary. And I want to talk specifically about Mary's leadership. Because Mary is totally unique. Because she is the mother of God. No one else gets to be the mother of Jesus. Mary bore him in her womb. The early church gave her the name Theotokos, meaning God bearer. She, together with the Holy Spirit, Jesus' DNA is made up of her DNA and the Holy Spirit's. She was the genetic mother of Jesus, and therefore Jesus must have looked like her. He must have had some of her physical features. She brought him up. She trained him. She educated him. For 30 years, she was the dominant female influence in his life. She set an example for Jesus. She taught him. She prayed for him. And as well as being the mother of Jesus, Mary, I would also like to suggest, is the mother of women's liberation. In this culture of the day, there was a very low view of women. Still sometimes today as well. Women were regarded both in Roman and Greek culture and in rabbinic Judaism. They were regarded as vastly inferior to men. In fact, they weren't even regarded as people in their own right. They were property of their husbands. They had no part to play in public life. And the very fact that the Apostle Paul puts in Galatians to be born of a woman was the beginning of the restoration of God's rule for equality and independence, total equality. And humanly speaking, it must have been in part due to his mother's influence that Jesus broke down the ways in which he treated women. He treated women in a way that was without precedence in Judaism. He repeatedly liberated and affirmed them. He treated men and women as equals. And unlike the society of the day, he treated every woman as a person in their own right, with dignity and respect. It is true that Jesus' inner circle of disciples were men. But remember the culture and practice of the day. These people would have been living with him, very close quarters. It would have been impractical and culturally inappropriate to mix. But women were among the disciples. Jesus broke the traditions of speaking to women in public. He had theological discussions with them. His ministry was supported by wealthy women. Women were amongst the closest of his friends. They sat at Jesus' feet, which is a traditional role of a male student. Women were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. Women were the first to be entrusted with the news of the resurrection. Of course, the cultural restraints of the day meant that Jesus' revolutionary teaching couldn't have reached its full effect immediately. But even in the days of the early church, women began to experience the liberation of the kingdom of God, and it started with Mary. Mary's the mother of God. She's the mother of women's liberation, but she's also a wonderful mirror for us as church. She is one that we should imitate. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, and we've got no problem with imitating Paul, so we should have no problem imitating Mary. She's a model for us, and she is unique in the sense that she was the only person who was present at all three great moments in our restoration, the incarnation, the passion, and Pentecost. Which, of course, we celebrate Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. She was present, of course, at the incarnation. That's what we've heard this morning. Jesus was incarnated in a womb. She was present at the passion. We read in John's Gospel that at the cross of Jesus were the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was present in Pentecost. We read in the book of Acts how they were all together praying with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And each of these occasions, she models for us something meaningful. Let's first look at the incarnation. Mary models to us faith. There you have it. Mary, a teenage girl and an angel. And I've often thought, why Mary? At this time, lots of women wanted to be the mother of the Messiah, but of course they were married. Mary was a teenager, unmarried, but engaged to Joseph. So when the angel said to her, you're going to have a child, her first reaction must have been, oh my life, that's going to end my engagement. No man is going to marry me. I'm pregnant with someone else's child. And yet she doesn't say, hang on, Gabriel, this is all very well, but can you just pop round and see Joseph, have a little chat with him, and then come back to me? She doesn't do that. None of that. Then there were her family. They would have been deeply disappointed with her. A single woman pregnant. And yet again, there's nothing in Mary that shows that she was worried or concerned that she would be chucked out onto the streets. And then thirdly, the punishment of being pregnant and unmarried in that society, as in some societies today, was death by stoning. And yet this teenage woman is willing to say, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm willing to do whatever you say. That's a person of faith. And it's not passive. I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray those kind of prayers of, okay, Lord, not my will be done, but yours be done, when I've tried everything else. It's my kind of last go-to prayer. Maybe I'm just hanging in my confession there. But it's not always my go-to. But for Mary, this is a kind of embracing. This is courage. There is fear, but there is courage in the face of this fear. This is the greatest and most decisive act of faith in history, choosing to offer herself totally to God, total unconditional trust. Doesn't mean there weren't difficulties. Doesn't mean there wasn't troubles. Doesn't mean there were no questions. Our faith doesn't need to be unquestioning. But I love what is said of Mary when told of the shepherds. It said that she treasured and pondered it in her heart. And that's the greatest thing that we can do with our questions and our doubts, things we're not sure of, to treasure and ponder them in our heart. And so she is the model for us when we face challenges in our everyday lives. I want to challenge you this Advent. Maybe to start each day with this prayer. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. What would it look like if we prayed that prayer every day over Advent? I don't know what challenges you are facing, maybe at work or family, finances or relationship, but that's a great prayer to pray. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And then, of course, she models for us hope at the Passion. When Jesus was just a baby, I'm fast forwarding a bit, you'll have to forgive me. When Jesus was just a baby, he was taken to the temple and he was prophesied over. And at the end, he looked to Mary and said, a sword will pierce his soul. And of course, this happened when Jesus was taken to the cross. And Mary was there. She was in Jerusalem. She will have seen the whole thing, the trial, the crucifixion. And she was there with a dignified silence standing as her son died on a cross. And in that moment, she models to us not just the continuation of her faith, but she also models for us hope. Why? Abraham is often held up as the great model of hope because he had this miraculous birth of a son. And yet we read in the Old Testament, he thought that he might have to sacrifice his child. And we're told that against all hope, he believed. But Mary went even further than Abraham. She was there when Jesus dies. And yet against all hope, she believed. Why? Because the angel has said to her, nothing is impossible for God. And she hoped. And of course, God raised Jesus from the dead. Everyone, every Christian should follow this model. No matter how things get, no matter how bad things are, we are never without hope. And this is unique to the world. Suffering is not meaningless. There's profound meaning in it. But because of Jesus' resurrection, we too can have hope. And every Christian can choose to give hope to those around them. And we know that particularly at this time of year. For some people, it's great. It's all about the trees, the tinsel and the Tia Maria. For others, it's a challenge. And you and I have the privilege of sharing hope with people. Mary modeled hope. Faith, hope, and at Pentecost, she models love. At Pentecost, the love of God was poured out to us. Paul says in Romans, the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. What the Holy Spirit gives us is an experience of God's unconditional love for us, which should drive us out into the world to love everyone, regardless of who they are, regardless of performance, regardless of whether we agree with them or not, regardless of what they believe. We should love because of the Holy Spirit. And Mary was there at Pentecost. But guess what? Mary's Pentecost was different from everyone else's Pentecost. Why? Because her Pentecost happened 33 years earlier when the Holy Spirit came upon her. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the one who was born will be called the Son of God. Right there, Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. And everywhere she went, people were touched by that Spirit. And that's true of you, and that's true of me. Wherever you go, just like Mary, we are carriers of the Holy Spirit. And so Mary modeled this, obviously, physically in her body. But you and I, spiritually, have the Holy Spirit living inside us. And so the challenge for us as we start this Advent season is to be more like Mary. We can be carriers of faith, hope, and love. So I wonder if we spend time every day praying, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm willing to serve you just like Mary. If we give our whole selves over to God, if we allow ourselves to be filled as Mary was with that unconditional love, we will be carriers of faith, hope, and love, and that will make a difference. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the example of Mary. Father, we thank you that Mary is a model for us as church. Father, we thank you for her courage to step out and be willing to be used for you and by you in the most difficult of circumstances. Father, for those of us that are facing challenges today, for those of us that will face judgment because of following you, we ask that your Holy Spirit will give us courage. Father, for those of us where this season of time is difficult, we ask that you would show us your faith, your hope, and your love. And Father, for those of us that know you, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we, like Mary, will be carriers of you, that everywhere we go, we will model the faith and hope and love we have found in you, that we may be an example this Christmas to those around us, just like Mary. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.